Yesterday on the program, we heard from a military group that supports the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Today, an opposing view from retired Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis. He was part of a Pentagon group that helped craft the policy banning openly gay men and women from the military back in 1993. Colonel McGinnis, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Melissa.
And what's your main argument of why Don't Ask, Don't Tell should remain military policy?
In 93, we looked specifically at unit effectiveness, we looked at readiness, and we looked at family issues related to open homosexuality. That particular report went to the Congress. They were compelled to draft a very tough exclusion policy. And as a result of that, we have what today is affectionately referred to, so-called Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which, of course, is somewhat different, actually, from the exclusion law because it's a double pretense. It says the Pentagon will pretend it doesn't care that homosexuals serve and that the homosexual has to pretend that they're not homosexual, which I think is ridiculous on both parts.
Do you think the conclusions that you drew 17 years ago still apply today?
Well, nothing's changed about the military's mission in 17 years. Admittedly, the culture is far more permissive and understanding of homosexuality. But after all, in the time of two wars, we need to be prudent about this. What are we jeopardizing if we move forward on this particular repeal? What's it going to do to retention? What's it going to do to recruitment? What's it going to do to unit effectiveness?
You talked about unit effectiveness and readiness, especially now at a time of two wars. And I wanted to play you a view that we heard yesterday on the program. We heard from Alex Nicholson, who's with the group Service Members United, which is a group of gay and lesbian troops and veterans who are fighting Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And he talked about this point. Let's take a listen.
We know that in times of conflict, the number of discharges drop significantly. You've seen, if you look at the statistics, a significant drop of almost half after 9/11, and then another drop of almost half after the Iraq War began in 2003. And so we know that in times of conflict, commanders are looking the other way, despite the fact that the rationale for the law is that in times of conflict, especially the presence of a known gay man or woman in the military is detrimental to unit cohesion, morale, and combat readiness.
So Colonel McGinnis, he seems to be saying in practice it isn't working that way during wartime.
Well, keep in mind, commanders are rather busy during wartime and not chasing after people to administratively discharge. But at the same time, we've had this policy in place for a long time, 17 years in this particular section of the policy. People are more privy to that and therefore are going to hide. They understand there are consequences for being exposed and therefore, they're not going to acknowledge their homosexuality because they want to stay in the military, perhaps.
And do you think public opinion should be relevant? I mean, by a 2-to-1 margin, Americans favor allowing gays and lesbians to serve openly in the military.
Actually, I tend to agree with what Secretary Gates said on the issue, and that is that you need to engage the force to find out their opinion about this, because after all, this is an all-volunteer force. If, in fact, they are alienated by a decision like this to repeal, then they could walk. And who are you going to backfill? If you look demographically at who fills the armed forces today, they typically are out of the South and the Mountain West. They typically are religious, conservative, and they also come from families with a history of military service. That's a very, very minuscule minority in this country. You alienate the very people that make up the all-volunteer force, then Congress has a much larger problem, that is going back to conscription. I have no idea how many people would leave if you repeal the law. However, that's a risk that we take if we move forward on this.
Colonel McGinnis, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Well, thank you, Melissa.
That's retired Army Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis, who played an advisory role in the creation of Don't Ask, Don't Tell back in 1993.